Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Nahum's prophecy is one that is very important, though it occupies few pages of the Scriptures. It contains a prophecy of the destruction of Assyria's power and focuses on its capital city, Nineveh. The book ultimately symbolizes the restoration of the peace of Israel after the Catholic power is destroyed by Christ and the saints. It teaches us to wait in faith and patience while Yahweh works out His plan with this earth. Nahum means comforter. He was sent to send comfort to the nation of Israel, but was also sent to comfort us. His prophecy and fulfillment of it declares a surety of Yahweh's plan. The date of Nahum's writing is vague, and it seems the most viable source that we have of when it was written is from Josephus. He indicates Nahum's writing was during the latter part of the reign of Jotham, who reigned in 751 to 736 B.C., and the fulfillment was around 612 B.C. during the reign of Josiah, who reigned from 641 to 609 B.C. This would leave us with about 120 years from the writing of this prophecy to its fulfillment, with its ultimate fulfillment anticipated when Christ returns. What is the history of Nineveh to this point? Brother Gary has assisted us in showing the magnitude of the city and how large it was. But there are still a few points that would help us in our address this morning. We see in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, that Cush begat Nimrod and began to be mighty and one in the earth, and a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And out of that land forth he went into Asshur, or Assyria, and built Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. The constructor of the city was Nimrod, and he went to Assyria and built it on the banks of the Tigris. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was a city that was widespread with idol worship from its very origin. Archaeologists have found many idols and altars of false gods in Nineveh. Sin, Ashur, Nergal, Shamash, Ninurta, Ishtar, Nabea of Borsippa are among the idols of worship that have been found there. Since the time of its initial construction, the city seems to have fallen and rebuilt possibly more than once, mostly due to its location. Unknown to Nimrod, he built it on a fault line which made it fall victim of earthquakes. The Syrians' dedication to the city enabled it to be rebuilt. When it was rebuilt, idol worship continued. That is, until it was divinely destroyed in 612 B.C. by Babylon and the Medes, not to be rebuilt again. 50 to 100 years before Nahum's prophecy, Yahweh was able to get the city to turn away from its evil ways through his prophet Jonah. This was quite an amazing feat, but did not last long. Nineveh was soon to return again to worshiping their many idols. The wealth of Nineveh was very great. It is estimated that the power and wealth of Nineveh continued to grow after the prophecy of Nahum was delivered, until it was fulfilled with the overthrow of Nineveh many years later. For Nahum says, speaking of its gold and silver, there is no end of the store. These riches, however, were not obtained alone by honest industry and gain, but by the conquest and spoil of other nations. The lion being the symbol of the Ninevite power, he styles the king of Assyria the old lion. The males of his family, the young lions, and the females of his harem, his lionesses, and their heir apparent, the lion's whelp. In speaking of the way the riches were heaped up in his vaults, the prophet says, the lions did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with raven. Due to all of this success, arrogance had filled the heart of Nineveh's leaders. When the righteous king Hezekiah was moving the people to resist the Assyrian king Sennacherib and his false god, Assyria did not hesitate to blaspheme against Yahweh. For we have this demonstration in the words of Rabshakeh. For he says, "Let not thy God whom thou trustest, O Hezekiah, deceive thee." Rabshakeh also blasphemes Yahweh to the people of the city of Jerusalem when he says, "Am I now come up without Yahweh against this place to destroy it? Yahweh said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." These examples attest to the fact that the moral condition of the city at the time of its greatest glory was excessively corrupt. Rome in the time of its glory is a meet example in its own right of the impiety and abomination rampant in Nineveh, whose fate, like that of her sister, Babylon, had become the type of that entire and complete desolation that awaits Rome and the government which supports her iniquity. Nahum bestows upon the city of Nimrod descriptions and symbols such as the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts. In her day, she traded in nations and families whom she sold by lies and robbery, as Rome has done and continues to do at this present time. "Woe to the city of blood," saith Nahum. "It is all full of lies and robbery, and the prey departeth not." That is, it is not restored. For this cause he threatens her with ruin. Destruction was to overtake her because, says he, of the multitude of whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, upon all of whom her wickedness passed continually. The spiritual merchandise of the well-favored harlot was forced upon all nations by her military power. By her riches, she sent out large armies to compel the nations to receive her yoke and to purchase at the price of their religious liberty, civil independence, and precious metals the lies she had prepared by the incantations of her astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers, who, when her shame was displayed before the nations of the kingdom she had spoiled, they emigrated to Babylon and became the wise men and counselors, the clergy and ministers of Nebuchadnezzar, the heir of her departed glory. Assyria was the great oppressing power at this time, with Israel being one of its victims, which is why it represented as having the yoke on Israel. Nineveh was the capital of the nation, and once it was defeated, it would represent the destruction of the Assyrian power and therefore the destruction of the yoke. In Nahum 1:13, we read, "For now I will break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds asunder." While several events transpired in bringing about the end of the glory of Nineveh, it can be summed up in the culminated in the following events. Nabopolassar, king of Babylon, having become old and infirm, associated his son Nebuchadnezzar, called the Second, and with him the throne of the kingdom. This young king is a celebrated Nebuchadnezzar spoken of in the book of Daniel. His exaltation to the joint occupation of the throne of Babylon with Nabopolassar occurred in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of the Jews. And 2 years before his father's decease, having mediated a peace between Ahasuerus, the king of Lydia, Nebuchadnezzar for himself and father contracted an alliance with Ahasuerus, king of the Medes, for the conquest and destruction of Nineveh. Having therefore united their forces, they besieged the city and took it, killed Sarachus, the king, and utterly destroyed it. The two armies enriched themselves with the spoils, and Ahasuerus, prosecuting his victories, made himself master of all the cities of the kingdoms. Ahasuerus, the king of Lydia, and Nebuchadnezzar for himself, and father contracted an alliance with Ahasuerus, king of the Medes, for the conquest and destruction of Nineveh. Having therefore united their forces, they besieged the city, took it, and killed Sarachus the king, and utterly destroyed it. The two armies enriched themselves with the spoils, and Ahasuerus, prosecuting his victories, made himself master of all the cities of the kingdom of Assyria, except Babylon and Chaldea, which belonged to Nabopolassar. Thus, Babylon and Chaldea became the nucleus of the new Assyrian empire. The wings of the great eagle were plucked from the Assyrian line and is made to stand upon its feet, and a man's heart was given unto it. Nebuchadnezzar commenced his career as a general of the kingdom and by the conquest of Syria and Judea, he succeeded to the sole inheritance of a throne, which at his father's death comprehended, under his dominion, Chaldea, Assyria, Arabia, Syria, Palestine, over which he reigned in Babylon, the capital of the empire, for 43 years. The destruction of Nineveh by the kings of Babylon and Media fulfilled the prophecies of Nahum and Zephaniah. The latter, who prophesied in the reign of Josiah, king of the Jews, said, Yahweh will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and a dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, and all the beasts of the nations, both cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows, desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am supreme, and none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down, and everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his head. Such is Nineveh. Such has she been for ages. Today, the location of the city has been unearthed due to the efforts of archaeologists of the last couple centuries. The whole city lies in ruin. One end has been excavated, and the other has a Muslim mosque upon it and leaves no way for it to be excavated. Nineveh and Babylon, the destroyers of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, have both fallen and vanished. Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, and the people of the city of Yahweh remain and are preparing to blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Nahum begins his prophecy of comfort to the righteous with warnings unto the wicked who deny Yahweh is the one true God who is worthy to be obeyed and reverenced. He says, Elkanah, an avenging Yahweh, Yahweh avengeth and is very furious. Yahweh recompenseth his adversaries, and he reserveth his wrath for his enemies. Yahweh is slow to anger, though great in power. This is an instance of rare use with this title of deity, Elkanah. Cana has been translated in the King James Version as jealous. We are told in Exodus 34, verse 14, For thou shalt worship no other El, for Yahweh, whose name is Cana, is Cana El. In these verses, we find that while God is patient, service to false gods will not be tolerated. Yahweh is a jealous of the honor of his name. Therefore, he avengeth it in fury upon Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, and their city. Of Nebuchadnezzar, Nahum says to Nineveh, From thee hath there gone forth one who imagined evil against Yahweh, a most wicked counselor. But though his pretended God was obeyed by many, thus saith Yahweh, Though they are victorious and so many, yet shall they be cut down and pass away. Then addressing Israel, he says, Though I afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now I will break his yoke from off thee, and I will burst thy bonds in sunder, and Yahweh will command concerning thee, that thy name be no more scattered abroad. Then in Nineveh, he says, From the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven and molten image. I will appoint thy grave, for thou art vile. But Judah shall live in peaceful independence when her oppressors are no more. Nahum saw this in his vision as the consummation of the controversy of Zion, mentioned in Isaiah 34, verse 8. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance, the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Nineveh and all her successors in her great contest for Yahweh's possession of his people and land should be destroyed. For the decree is that the wicked shall be wholly consumed and cut off. Therefore, saith the prophet Nahum, Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, who publisheth peace. Keep, O Judah, thy feast, perform thy vows, for he shall no more pass through thee. The wicked is wholly consumed, he is cut off. The power of the wicked shall no more pass through Judea, because of him who brings the proclamation of peace to Judea. But the power of the wicked is supreme. The power of the wicked is supreme there to this day. Therefore, in these words, Nahum looked beyond the fall of Nineveh He saw in the future, indicated by Isaiah, in similar words, saying, "How beautiful appear on the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good things, of him that proclaimeth peace, of him that bringeth good tidings of good, of that proclaimeth salvation, that saith to Zion, Elohim reigneth, the watchmen shall lift up their voice, and with their voice together shall they sing, for with their own eyes shall they see that Yahweh restoreth Zion. Burst forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahweh hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Israel. Yahweh hath made bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim."